Let's turn to the book of Philippians for our time of study in the Word of God this morning. We are looking in this last section of this great book about what Paul has written about contentment. Contentment is the theme of verses 10 through 19, so let's read these verses together again this morning. Paul writes beginning in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs. And not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Today I want to draw our attention once again to verse 13. We included a few comments, even making a point, one of the points of last week's message from verse 13. And I thought I was ready to move on to verses 14 through 19 today. But the more I considered what verse 13 says and what I had said about it, I came to the realization that we needed to explore this important verse much more deeply. We need to take a look. The reason we need to take a deeper look at this verse is probably very obvious if we are simply honest with ourselves. If we are totally honest, we probably have to admit that we don't really know if we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because for the most part, we have not been put in a position to do very many difficult things that have been associated with many in the Christian faith. Most of us, admittedly, don't even really quite relish the thought of being put into a position to find out if we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This is a verse that's easy to memorize and is really easy to quote. And it's on the picture in the wall of our house probably somewhere, or has been at some point. I once had a pillow that hung on the door in my study that said those very words. And then it was interesting because it also had embroidered on it the scripture reference, and the word Philippians was misspelled. I kept it for a long time just because of that. So we can, you know. But what we need to understand when we are making this statement, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Him is Christ. Some translations use Christ in there. When we are making that statement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we are making a profound statement. We are making a true statement. We are making a statement that is easy to say, as long as the all things are not too difficult. But how many of us can make this statement and know it's true because we have been through things that were so difficult, so challenging, so distressing in our lives that the only way we got through them was through the strength that Christ supplied? Paul could make this statement because Paul had endured things that could only have been endured through the strength of Christ. And the only way we can know if we can do all things through the strength that Christ provides is if we get into something that requires far more than our own strength. And quite frankly, many of us will say no to those things that require more strength than we have in and of ourselves because we don't like the idea of being stretched to those kind of limits. That those kind of things disrupt the agenda that we have for our own personal lives. And because we would say no to many of those things, we are not privy to the secret of contentment the way Paul was. If we're honest, for me to admit that to be able to say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I'd have to know what the all things included. And if I knew that the all things included the things that Paul went through, things like extreme poverty, pain, suffering, hunger and thirst, shipwrecks, night and days in the deep, afflictions, persecutions, betrayal, sorrow, and things like that, I have to admit that I don't really know that I can say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, at least yet. Let me remind you of the two points we learned last week. We learned from verse 10 that Paul's contentment, the first key to Paul's contentment was his trust in the providence of sovereign God who controls everything that's going on in life. In verse 10, we learned that Paul rejoiced greatly that their concern, the concern of the Philippians, had been revived. It had been 10 years since he had received anything from them. But it was not because they didn't care. It was because they lacked opportunity. Circumstances had prevented them from helping Paul, and Paul understood, he knew who was providentially in control of the circumstances. That was God. Contentment requires that we trust in the providence of God. And that's easy, is it not? As long as the providence of God has ordained things for our lives that are at least tolerable. The test of contentment comes when God providentially orders something that makes us uncomfortable, or something that scares us, or something that threatens us, or something that introduces, all kinds of chaos into our lives. Paul had been through all kinds of trouble, and he knew that every aspect of his experience had been ordained by the providence of God. We also learned last week that contentment requires that we be satisfied with the sufficiency of God's provision. Paul says, and he says in verse 11, not that I speak from want, but I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Paul says, I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to get along in prosperity. What Paul's saying is whether he was suffering need or having an abundance, he learned the secret of contentment. And whether he was suffering need, whether he or God had provided enough. If there was plenty, it was time to eat. If there was nothing to eat, it was time to what? Fast and pray. God's provision was sufficient regardless of what it is. And again, I will say to us, it's easy to trust in the provision, the sufficiency of God's provision, as long as there's plenty of provision. As long as there's plenty of money in the bank or plenty of food in the cupboard, it's easy for us to say, man, God's provision is always sufficient. I'm thankful for the abundance that God has providentially provided in this country in our lifetime, and I don't exactly relish the idea of going hungry and suffering need. But Paul was content even when those were his experiences. So think about this with me. Paul's contentment had been learned in circumstances where God had providentially ordained hardship, trials, persecution, poverty, imprisonment, and many other difficulties. Paul's contentment had been learned in circumstances where the provision of God was often scant. I'm sure the times of humble means far exceeded the times of prosperity for Paul, yet he was what? He was content. And that is what led Paul to say, I can do all things through Christ, through Him who strengthens me. Paul knew he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him because so much of what he had done required the supernatural strength of Christ working in his life. And I felt very compelled to come back to this verse and re-examine it today because I know for me, and I'm probably certain that most of us are in the same situation, we don't know for sure that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us because we haven't been asked to do very many hard things yet. But my friends, it may be that we will be asked to endure some tough things. If we're honest, we admit we're fine in our present circumstances. We're content with life as it is. We would be okay if God left things alone so that we continue to live in peace and prosperity for the rest of our days on this earth. But my friends, if we look around us, we see the signs are pointing elsewhere. We see the signs are pointing to the fact that difficult days will come, just like the Scripture tells us they will. Difficult days will come. There will be a falling away of multitudes from the faith. And if we are approaching these last days when difficult times will come, we may well find ourselves in circumstances that are providentially ordained by God, which are designed to reveal who's real and who's not. And we may all find ourselves facing some of what Paul faced. Will we be content? Will we be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I pray that we are. We recognize that contentment at that level, as Paul describes it, and under the circumstances in which he experiences it, is something that requires supernatural strength. This isn't natural. To be able to be imprisoned like he was, confined like he was, restricted and not able to do the missionary work God had called him to do, suffering the hunger, suffering the pressure of all the concern for all the churches, and still under all of that be able to rejoice without ceasing, to rejoice always, to be able to let his gentle spirit be known to all men, to be able to be anxious for nothing, to be able to, in those circumstances, just constantly dwell on the things that are true and honorable and right, God's glorious truth, that requires supernatural strength. And what Paul is saying in Philippians 4:13 is truly profound. The word do, iskuo in the Greek, it describes having the strength, the ability, and the power, both mental and physical, to endure anything. A good translation would be, an alternative translation would be, I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word strengthens in dunamao describes being equipped with power, being made vigorous. Paul says, I can endure all things through Him, through Christ, who has equipped me with power. And obviously, the key to enduring difficult things which may be ordained by the providence of God is to endure by being equipped with the power which Christ provides. And let me tell you this about this verse. Things that we'd have gotten to last week if we hadn't gotten so close to lunchtime. All things is in the emphatic first position in the Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar. But the Greek literally reads, all things I can endure through Christ who strengthens me. And when the Greeks wanted to put emphasis on something, they put it first in the sentence. So the emphasis is on the all things. And all things means what? Just that. All things. And Paul has demonstrated that for us, hasn't he? We have detailed his circumstances often in our study of this book. And by all accounts, the time that Paul is sitting in Roman custody in the city of Rome and writing these words, by all accounts, this is the low point of Paul's life. This is as bad as it gets. He's in Roman custody, chained to a soldier, unable to do the work freely that God's called him to do, often in hunger, and along with this, the pressure he feels for the spiritual well-being of the churches that he's founded. There's the uncertainty of his future because his fate will be decided by a madman, and these are the all things that he endures through the strength that comes from Christ. Paul's list of all things, my friends, and my list of all things do not read the same. Paul's list of all things and your list of all things do not look like the same lists, do they? They don't. His list is much more impressive than any of ours. And here's what we need to know. We need to know that if God ordains for us some of the things that were on Paul's list, we need to be able to say, we need to be equipped and ready to be able to say, I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. But here's the deal. We won't know that we can endure it until we are required to endure it. The strength which Christ supplies is only drawn upon as it is needed. You know what a pacemaker does for someone who has a heart that is weak or beats inconsistent? What does it do? It sits there and does nothing most of the time, right? It kicks in when? When the heart stops doing what it's supposed to do. It kicks in, makes and takes over, makes the heart beat like it should. This power that is promised and provided for us is given to us when the need for this power, this strength arises. So the question to consider is this. Is this same strength that Paul drew upon that enabled him to do all things, is it available to us? Is it available to you and me? It is. It is. And it's something that you and I can know experientially. Flip back with me to Ephesians chapter 3 for a moment. We got a couple other passages we need to look at as we understand what Paul's teaching us in Philippians 4:13. Let's read beginning in chapter 3, verse 14 of Ephesians. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." And here's what he's praying, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I want to make a few observations about what we just read. First of all, Paul prays that God would grant us this power. The power, the strength to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Paul prays that we would have that power. We would know that power. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man. Is God willing to grant that power? Yes. Paul's not praying. Paul doesn't pray for things that God won't answer. If Paul's asking God to grant that power, God is willing to grant that power. God is not only willing to grant that power, God is able to grant that power. God wants to grant that power. God loves to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are right towards him. Another question, how much of this power is God willing to grant to us? Well, verse 20 answers that in Ephesians 3, doesn't it? Enough to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. So let me ask you this, is that enough power? It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Another question, where does the power come from? Or better yet, a better question, from whom does this power come? Verse 16 of Ephesians 3 tells us this power comes through his Spirit in the inner man. Back in chapter 1, Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, we're told that Christians have been sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's given as a pledge of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit in Christ is Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is our indwelling, residing presence of God, and he has the power source. He is the power source in the inner man. So just to make sure we have this in our minds, let's review this. The Holy Spirit is where? He's in me. He is willing to strengthen us with power. And as Paul says in verse 16, this strengthening would be according to the riches of his glory. I don't know how much power is on display in the presence of God. But the power that he's willing to give us to strengthen us is according to the riches of the glory of his power, of his presence. And he is willing to and able to strengthen us with a power to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. So my friends, that's a strength to endure all things. It's no wonder that Paul came to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 and he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. But there's one more passage we need. So we establish in Philippians 4:13, that Paul at least was able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't just say it, he demonstrated it. He shows us in Ephesians chapter 3 that God is willing and able to give us the strength that we might need for whatever life throws at us. But there's one more thing we need to understand. To understand this, we need to go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a passage that we must understand if we are to know how Paul came to experience this power. This passage that we are about to read, we've looked at several times in the past. It's a very familiar passage to us, and it should be, because it's an extremely important passage. But here we find another testimony of the Apostle Paul, and quite frankly, it's another testimony concerning Paul's contentment. And specifically, it is his testimony concerning the power of Christ working in his life to make him content. Let me give you a little context. 2 Corinthians was written by Paul to defend his apostleship. He's being attacked by false teachers. They are relentless and they are vicious. They're saying that Paul, they were spreading the rumors, that they were telling others, the people at Corinth, that Paul was not truly a real apostle. that he was a false apostle, that he was only in the ministry for money and sexual favors. They said he was not sanctioned by the apostles in Jerusalem. They accused him of being weak and his appearance and his speech both being contemptible. They were shredding Paul, so he has to defend himself. He doesn't like to do this, but he has to do it. So in the first part of chapter 12, in the whole book he's defending his apostleship, but in the first part of chapter 12, he describes revelations and visions which no one else could claim to have had. In fact, Paul had four personal encounters with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. But in spite of these revelations and visions, Paul was not proud because God had humbled him. And this is where we pick up reading in verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 12. And you'll have to wait till I get out of 1 Corinthians 12 and get over to 2 Corinthians 12. Paul said this, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." I'm going to stop right there. It was this messenger, I believe, was a leader of the false teachers. The word messenger is angelos. It's used, every time it's used in Scripture, it's not used to speak of a thing, but a person or a being. And it was a messenger of Satan. The important thing to understand is the purpose of this thorn. Paul tells us it was to humble him. And I hope you understand that humility is the most important spiritual virtue there is. We know God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And this was God's response to Paul's request to the thorn. He said, concerning this, verse 8, "I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me." Three times. It's causing me distress. It's causing me discomfort. Lord, take it away. Three times he asked. And three times the Lord's response was, "My grace." Verse 9, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you." We've looked at this passage several times through the years, and I've always focused on that statement, "My grace is sufficient for you." If you want to know something of the sufficiency of God's grace, this is the textbook. This is the passage to learn so much of the sufficiency of God's grace in trouble and sorrow. But today I want to focus on the second part of that statement. It's just as much the Word of God. Because God went on to say to Paul, "For power is perfected in weakness." This is what we need to learn in order to be able to say with Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We must understand that power, the strength to endure these all things is perfected in weakness. The word perfected means to complete or to bring to the intended goal. What Paul learned, what we must learn, is that God's power, the strength that God uses to strengthen us to endure all things, it comes to us through the experience of weaknesses. Weaknesses speaks of our impotence, our inability, our infirmities. And let's make some important connections between what we've seen in Philippians 4 and what we are seeing in 2 Corinthians 12. Remember in Philippians 4, the first thing we learn, that God, contentment is the result of trusting in God's, in what God providentially ordains, for the circumstances that He providentially ordains. Look at what God had providentially ordained for Paul in 2 Corinthians. God had providentially ordained the revelations and the thorn to humble Paul. And knowing that these would make any man proud, God providentially ordained the messenger of Satan to keep Paul from exalting himself. He didn't like it, so he asked God to remove it, and God's response was, "No, my grace is sufficient for you." God was teaching Paul not only to trust in what he had providentially ordained, but he's also teaching Paul to trust in the sufficiency of what God had provided. If God does not remove the thorn, it's time to do what? Rejoice in the thorn. This is what Paul did because he was learning that the weaknesses resulting from the thorn, that's what God was using him to teach him that he could endure all things. He was learning that the power of Christ was being brought to its intended purpose through the weaknesses of impotence. And the result is found in the next thing Paul writes in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12. He says, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." If the power of Christ in us is brought to its intended purpose in our weaknesses and impotence, then why wouldn't we boast about our weaknesses? And here's where the contentment comes in. Look at verse 10. "Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let me tell you something about that word "well content." It was used by God Himself when He spoke from heaven at the baptism of Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am" what? "Well pleased." It's the same word. Paul uses it here. I am well pleased. I'm well pleased with my distresses, my afflictions and infirmities and persecutions. This is how Paul feels about his weaknesses, the insults, the very things that the false teachers love to throw at him. He says, "I'm well pleased." The distresses, the going hungry, the being in prison, the being restricted from ministry, I'm well pleased. The persecutions, like being stoned and left for dead, I'm well pleased. The difficulties, I'm well pleased. These are the things with which Paul was well content or well pleased. And why? Because he goes on to tell us, "For when I am weak, then I'm what? Strong." You see, this is God's promise applied to Paul's life. God's promise was power is perfected in weakness, and Paul came to understand that when he was weak, then he was strong. Back to Philippians chapter 4. My friends, Philippians 4:13 is one of the best known verses in Christendom. Everyone loves what it says. We all like to quote it. We all like having it on a plaque on the wall. And it is a tremendous truth. But quite frankly, it should come with a warning label. It should. It should come with a warning label. In fact, it does come with a warning label if you just read between the lines. It's being written by a man who endured so much, went through so much. It was written by a man who knew mostly hardship, mostly need, mostly opposition, mostly difficulty, mostly circumstances that would devastate most people. But it was this man who understood what he was saying when he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You see, folks, we can only do all things through Christ who strengthens us if we are willing to be made weak. What will God providentially ordain that might produce this weakness? I don't know. But would I rejoice in it if that's what he did? Would I be well pleased with persecutions and afflictions and distresses and insults if that's what God providentially ordained to weaken me? That's what I'd have to do if I'm going to endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not until we are weakened through the infirmities and the insults and the distresses and the persecutions and the difficulties which God ordains that we will be able to say, I am well pleased with these things because they weaken me, and they weaken me so that I can be strong. And when I am strong, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you can take what has been shared, the truth of your word, that you can encourage our hearts, strengthen us, encourage us, challenge us, and equip us, God, to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, we don't know what the future holds, but we know you are in control of every circumstance going on around us. God, if you ordain for us difficulties that bring about distress and affliction and persecution and insults, we will be well pleased in those because those weaken us. And in our weakness, we are made strong, strong enough to endure all things. Lord, we pray you would seal these truths to our heart and be glorified in the results. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.